Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We've got both your playoff games from an interesting Monday night in the NBA. I'm Dave DeFore. That's Trevon Edwards. You know, he's with me every single week. What's up, Trey?
What's going on, Dave?
Not a whole lot, man. I want to jump right into the Sixers-Hawks because I don't think any of us expected the Hawks to even take another game in this series. And yet, here we are. It's now even 2-2 after a 103-100 Atlanta Hawks win. Trey, I think you got to start by tipping your cap to the Atlanta Hawks. This was a scrappy victory.
To credit Doc Rivers, the Hawks outworked them the whole fucking game. And that was true. You know what I mean? They just wanted it more. The crowd was in it. Guys made plays. Trae Young was able to run the offense. I mean, you know, most of the time he's doing like heavy low scoring, but you know, everybody was kind of contributing to this win. And you know, they gutted it out. They could have folded, and they fought through it and kept it close. And when it counted, you know, they did what they were supposed to do. But Embiid really helped them out because he struggled in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned Trae. He had 18 assists in this game, 25 and 18. I thought it was a spectacular game from Trae Young. And, you know, that whole third quarter comeback from them, he really was instrumental in that. But you mentioned Embiid missed 12 straight shots in this game, did not make a single field goal in the second half. And during the awful stretch to end the game, the last 5 minutes, only two other guys even attempted shots for the Sixers, aside from Embiid. Furkan Korkmaz and Seth Curry both missed threes. And, you know, that's just not great. If he's not cooking, and you keep feeding him, expecting a different result, I just don't know what you're going to do. And I thought, Trey, that he got himself out of the game a little bit. He didn't look great physically. He tweaked his knee or something. But he was complaining a lot to the refs in the third and looking for fouls that were not happening. And really just sat and complained and was giving up stuff on the other end. And I thought that mentally they disappeared in that quarter.
Yeah, I mean, outside of fatigue, you know, it's starting to show the wear and tear on his knee. He mentioned to Rich Hoffman, like, he doesn't believe that he's going to be 100% until the year's actually over, you know what I mean? So he's just kind of just doing his best, but his best is actually hurting the team, you know what I mean? And for Korkmaz to be out there and not getting the attempts up or not putting Seth Curry in the right situations, you know what I mean? Like, you got to look at the end. That wasn't even a great look, you know what I mean? It was kind of desperation and Shake Milton freezing up. It was a lot, you know what I mean? I don't think they executed well, and they kept going to Embiid thinking that he would warm up or get to the line, and it just was bad. He was doing a lot of flopping.
Yeah, and then at the end of that third quarter and the beginning of the fourth, I thought John Collins was just fantastic, great energy, really was pushing the pace and attacking the basket, and you know, Embiid was out of the game at the start of the fourth. And I thought maybe, you know, that's a good time to go to Simmons at the five and try to get something going there. They had Dwight Howard in there, and he did okay. But what do you think, Trey? Like, should they be looking for more opportunities to get out and run with Simmons? If you've got to sit Embiid for rest, maybe you need to stagger a little bit and try to keep the Hawks on their heels.
You could put Simmons out there if you want. He didn't do anything either. I mean, I'm not letting him off the hook. They just were just bad at completely, you know what I mean? And just Atlanta wanted it more. They dug. I mean, I think they felt the desperation that this was a win or go home situation, not even though it wasn't elimination, but they lose this game, the series is over. And now, not saying that it's 0-0 like most people would say, but depending on how Embiid goes into this next game is going to say how the series really is, you know. And obviously, you know, Trae Young's dealing with his shoulder and stuff like that. And, you know, guys are banged up. You know, the playoffs are really showing what it is, but I think if the Hawks weren't so young, they would actually win this series and it wouldn't even be close. But Philly needs to figure it out, whether it's Tobias or other guys making better contributions to win this.
Yeah, and a big move to the starting lineup for the Hawks. They put Kevin Huerter in place of Solomon Hill. And Trey, you know, I think that's something that you've seen a lot of in the analysis of this series. A lot of people saying, hey, look, why don't you just go ahead and put Huerter out there with the starters and try to get him starters minutes. I mean, he's been fantastic as a tertiary playmaker when he's sharing the court with Trae Young and Bogdan Bogdanovic. He really adds a little bit more dynamism to their offense. And now you got four guys who can put it on the court at one time around Capella. I mean, that's tough, man.
Yeah, I mean, being able to shoot the rock too, you know, like John Collins, being able to stretch the floor, Huerter, you know what I mean, Lou Will. I mean, you can go down the line, Trae Young. Like, they were able to get, you know, some good looks. and knock him down, man. But it's interesting because, you know, when they're going, and sometimes, you know, it's just crazy. I wanted to mention, too, Clint Capela and his trash talk has been great. You know, you mentioned on Joel Embiid, whenever you wear him out, everything becomes tougher for him. And when the fatigue comes in, it's a different ball game. So I think they're going into game five with more confidence, feeling like they can win the series.
Well, how are you feeling about game five? I mean, again, we all expected this series was done. We didn't think the Hawks had another win in them. They gutted this one out. I mean, again, down the stretch, I just thought Trae Young was unflappable in this game. I mean, he just attacked and was as aggressive as I think I've ever seen him go into the basket. I mean, no fear whatsoever. And maybe, just maybe, Atlanta has found the confidence that they need to actually push this and take it six or seven. Well, I guess it's going to go six now, but maybe they can take it seven. And if you can take it seven, Trey, that's a toss-up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who doesn't want to play in the game seven? It's super stressful, but these players live for these moments, these big moments. But at first, how game three pretty much looked, I thought the Sixers would go to Atlanta and take care of business, but apparently not. You know, this Hawks team has some fight. Nate McMillan has coached them really well and prepared those guys to compete. And it's really going to depend on the health of Joel Embiid. If he comes out and really can't give it his all, the Hawks have a chance to still win in Philly and close the series out in Atlanta.
In the late game, the Clippers handled the Jazz in game four to even that series up. And Trey, you know, I think the Clippers have looked like, for the most of the last 10 quarters of this series, the better team. And that was no different tonight. They really put it on them in the first half especially. And the Clippers seem to have figured something out. Kawhi Leonard was excellent in this game, as he's been all playoff long. 31 points, 9 of 19 from the field, 10 of 13 from the line. Very important that he's getting to the free throw line. But Trey, he appears to have tweaked his knee in this game and did not close it out. Now, the Clippers had a lead, so maybe that they were just being cautious. But you never like to see Kawhi Leonard, or any star, or any player for that matter, clutching at a knee after they tweak their ankle a little bit.
On transition play, it was fouled by Bogdanović and kind of got up gingerly and just needed a moment. So he ended up missing two free throws and they end up fouling just to get him out of the game. And, you know, Ty Lue just took the safe route of just, you know, no need putting more pressure on it and potentially just kind of letting it, you know, trusting the team to close it out for them. I mean, they had a comfortable lead that was kind of dwindling, but it was still like 10, up 10, you know what I mean? And the Jazz kind of cracked back, but, you know, Clippers were able to finish the game out. But we'll have to figure out what's going on with his knee. Like you mentioned, he played a great game through the first three quarters, you know, and a little bit into the fourth. They led as much as 29 before the Jazz went on a run. But Donovan Mitchell, you know, he played well, you know, but still is bothered by his injury. They really miss Mike Conley right now.
That's right. And, you know, the Jazz came out, and I did not like their approach from the start. They weren't getting good looks on offense. They were just coming out, looked like they were trying to throw haymakers. Like they were trying to end it in the first quarter. And the opposite happened. The Clippers were able to turn a lot of their long misses into easy buckets. Some of the easy misses turned into threes for the Clippers, and, you know, they got that big lead really, really early. And this is where, in particular, I think Utah misses Mike Conley. Because, you know, yeah, Donovan Mitchell at the end of the game, you look at it, it's 37 points, 6 of 15 from 3, 13 of 15 from the line, and those numbers look good. But the start of this game and a lot of the hero ball that he just came out of the gate with might have ended the game early for them. And so I think that they've got to find a way to balance that out. And Trey, I was really surprised by the lack of Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert pick and roll in this game. And to be frank, how about just the lack of Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert in this game? Joe Ingles winds up playing 27 minutes in a playoff game, Trey. This doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes sense to me because the game wasn't really close like that. And it just really wasn't going for him. And then he started making shots. But it wasn't like, you know, like they trailed big early in the first, and that's kind of a gut punch. You know, like some teams get up and still believe, or sometimes they lay down and just say, all right, we're going to get the next one. And in this particular situation, it wasn't too much. I think those two could have offered, you know what I mean? Like, they got punched in the mouth early. I think it was like 40-17 in the first. And the Clippers did what they did. They made the right adjustments. I like the way they played Donovan Mitchell, getting the ball out of his hands and, you know, just rotating and just making other guys, you know, make plays. You know, Kawhi Leonard had a very momentum shifting dunk that, you know. Oh,
is that what we're calling it? That was a murder.
Yeah, it was one of those big plays, man. And, you know, unfortunately, Derek Favors was on the other end of that. And it got shown multiple times tonight. He played a great game to tie the series up for his team, you know, because last week it was looking like, you know, the jokes would be on the Clippers. But, you know, like, Ty Lue continues to make adjustments and keep his team calm and deliver when it counts.
I mean, it's the NBA. When you've got the best player in the series, you're always in it. And Kawhi Leonard is the best player in this series. And I mean, he continues to show that throughout the playoffs. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the podcasts we've got over at the Athletic Podcast Network. If you haven't already subscribed, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and do it now. Thank you guys for waking up with us. Trey, take it away.
Ding, ding.